like for you to turn with us this morning to the book of Exodus, the third chapter, and I want to begin reading at verse 11, please, down through verse 14. That's the third chapter of Exodus, verses 11 through 14.
And Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt?
Yes.
And he said, Certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee, that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you.
Now the thought that's on our heart this morning that we'd like to consider as a subject, I am. I am. Now the great God of heaven chose to be known by the name I Am as he dealt with the children of Israel to bring them out of the land of Egypt and out of the cruel bondage that they were in. No doubt a greater and more fitting name could not have been chosen that would have fully portrayed God to those people than the name I am. Now, I'd like for us to consider a little concerning the greatness of this name as we look into the Word of God. I'd like for you to turn with us now to the fifth chapter of the book of Exodus, reading verses 1 and 2, please. Exodus 5, 1 and 2.
And afterward, Moses and Aaron with you, and told Pharaoh, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, that my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. And Pharaoh said, Who is the Lord, that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go.
Now here, dear ones, the Lord God sent his servant Moses to deal with Pharaoh and sent a command to King Pharaoh, king of Egypt, that the Lord God of Israel is instructing you to let my people go. But Pharaoh's response to that command was, I know not the Lord. I don't know this God that you're talking about. Who is the Lord? And neither will I let Israel go. Little did that individual know that in a very short span of time, he would become very well acquainted with the great God of heaven. He would become very well acquainted with the great I Am. Now, here the Lord, in process of time, sent Moses and Aaron once again to visit with Pharaoh. And God instructed Moses, when you go in to deal with Pharaoh and give him the command again to let my people go. If Pharaoh began to require of you a miracle, this is what I want you to do. I want Aaron to take the rod of God in his hand, that rod that I have supplied you with and furnished you with. And when Pharaoh require a miracle of you, I want you to cast that rod down in front of Pharaoh. And so it was, dear ones, as Moses and Aaron came in before King Pharaoh. And Aaron cast down the rod of God before Pharaoh, and that rod became a serpent, and Pharaoh called for his magicians to come in. They took their rods and they cast down their rods, and they too became serpents, but the rod of Aaron swallowed up the rods of those magicians. God was beginning to acquaint Pharaoh with himself. God was beginning to testify of his greatness to this man. Pharaoh, you say that you don't know me. I'm going to acquaint you with me. I am Lord of Lords, and I am King of Kings. I am the Creator, Master, and Ruler of the universe. I am the Supreme Being. I am God, and beside me there is no other. I am God. And beside me, there is no other. Oh, may God help us as we journey through this dark and sinful world. But sad to say, dear ones, Pharaoh rebelled against the great God of heaven. He resisted God. He withstood God. And oh, dear ones, God began again to make this man acquainted with him. God began to show his mighty power. He began to send one plague after another upon Pharaoh and upon the land of Egypt. God sent a plague upon Egypt. He instructed Moses, I want you to take the rod of God and I want you to stretch it out over the rivers of Egypt. The great Nile River, this was a river that was worshipped by those people. The great Nile River furnished them with drinking water. That was said to be some of the most pleasant water that an individual could drink. And God instructed Moses, stretch out your rod over this river, over every stream, over every pond, over every body of water, over the water that's in the vessels of wood and vessels of stone. And as Moses stretched out his rod over those waters, the whole river, Nile River, became blood.
Yes.
Not just the color of blood, folks.
Yes.
It became blood.
Yes.
Every stream, every brook, every pool of water, every pond, every basin of water that those individuals had in that dwelling place became blood.
Yes.
And the scripture said that the fish of the river died.
Yes.
And the river stank. We're talking about the great I Am, folks. I am God, and beside me there is no other. I am the supreme being. I am the creator, master, ruler of the universe. I'm going to acquaint you with me. I am God. Oh, listen. God sent other plagues, frogs. The scripture said, God sent frogs in abundance throughout the land of Egypt. And those frogs were so in abundance, they were in the people's bedchambers, they were in the people's beds, they were in their ovens, they were in their kneading troughs. Everywhere that you looked, everywhere that you went, there were frogs present. I am God.
Amen.
I am God. Oh, may God help us.
Yes, Lord.
The Lord sent a plague of lice upon the people.
Yes.
And the scripture said, dear ones, what we want to get a hold to, everything that God did, Satan, the enemy of all souls, want to imitate it.
Yes.
And he want to present himself as some mighty being. Oh, listen, as Moses stretched out his rod over the river and those waters turned to blood, the magician stretched out their rods and some of the water turned to blood too. But oh, listen, the mighty hand of God, 7 days were upon those people. 7 days that water was turned to blood and those people had to search and dig to try to find some water to quench that thirst for 7 days. When God instructed Moses pertaining to the lice, the magicians could not stand before Moses, and they testified to Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. They didn't say it's the hand of God. They said, this is the finger of God. The mighty power, folks, of the God of heaven.
Amen.
I am the supreme being. I am God. And beside me, there is no other. Several other plagues God brought upon the Egyptians. The destruction of all of their cattle, of their sheep and their animals. He brought boils upon the people and upon the beasts of the land. God rained down fire mingled with hail. And he destroyed the trees. He destroyed the herbs. He destroyed the crops. The Bible said God rained down hail and fire mingled with it. And that fire ran along the ground, folks. It destroyed man and beast.
Yes.
God is testifying here.
Yes.
God is acquainting Pharaoh with him. I am God.
Yes.
And beside me, there is no other. My power is a supreme power. God sent a darkness upon the land of Egypt. A thick darkness. A darkness, the Bible says, so thick that you could feel it. And a darkness so dreadful and so fearful. For 3 days, nothing moved from where it was.
Yes.
Wherever that individual was, or wherever, whatever it was, they stayed right there. That darkness was so thick, so dreadful, so fearful, that nothing moved for 3 whole days. No one was able to see anyone for 3 whole days because of the thick darkness that God had sent. And the Bible said not even a dog wagged his tongue against anything. I'm God. I am God. But all the time, folks, that God was sending one plague after another upon the Egyptians in the land of Goshen where God's people were, there was no trouble. There was no problem. God is testifying here. God is making Pharaoh acquainted with him that I am the great God of heaven. I am the supreme being. All power in heaven and earth is in my hand. There is no being and there is no power that can stand on an equal level with my power. There is no being and no power that can excel my power. I am God. God sent the death angel through the land of Egypt.
Yes.
And everywhere that blood was not found on the doorpost, the firstborn was slain.
Yes.
And the Bible said there was not a house in the land of Egypt where there was not one death. The firstborn of man and beast were slain by the death angel. But in the land of Goshen, where God's people were, there was no death.
Amen.
Oh, can you see, folks, why God would term himself as I am?
Yes.
I am the mighty God. I am the great and powerful God. I am the supreme being. And I can do what pleases me. And there is no power that can resist me. Pharaoh let the people of Egypt, Israel, go out of the land of Egypt. But I want us to get a point here, dear ones. It would seem like any reasonable mind would have let these people go far before Pharaoh let them go. We sing a song sometime that says there is a line that is drawn by rejecting the Lord, where the call of his spirit is lost. As you hurry along with the pleasure mad throng, have you counted? Have you counted the cost?
Yes.
Have you counted the cost if your soul should be lost? Though you gain the whole world for your own, even now it may be that the line you have crossed, have you counted? Have you counted the cost? Pharaoh crossed the line, folks. Do you not know that? Now the Bible says that the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Every man, woman, boy, and girl that is born into this world has an opportunity to be saved, have an opportunity to surrender their heart and life to God, have an opportunity opportunity to go to heaven. But folks, do you not know that many people cross that line? Many people, instead of submitting and surrendering to God, they rebel against Him. They resist God. They withstand God. And they come to a place of where the great God of heaven just cut off His dealings with their eternity-bound soul. He draw back His tender spirit. All the Scripture said, my spirit will not always strive with man. God came to a point that He drew back His spirit. He ceased to deal with this man's eternity-bound soul. And now God began to use him. God said, for this purpose have I raised you up, that I might show my power. He became a vessel of wrath, a vessel fit for destruction, and he couldn't change, folks. Any reasonable mind would have changed. After so many of these plagues, 10 plagues, after so many of these serious plagues God had sent upon the land, don't you know any reasonable-minded person would have backed off? But all the Scripture said God hardened Pharaoh's heart, and the man couldn't change. And so God made him a vessel of wrath, fit for destruction. Pharaoh released the children of Israel. But as they were wandering in the wilderness, and they encamped before the Red Sea, Pharaoh's heart became hardened, and he determined, I'm going to pursue after them, and we're going to bring them back again. So Pharaoh took his army, and he pursued after the children of Israel. And God instructed Moses, I want you to take the rod that's in your hand, stretch it out over the Red Sea. Moses stretched that rod out over the sea, and the waters of that sea parted, and God sent a great wind. It had dried up the bottom of the sea, and the Israelites were able to go through the midst of the sea on dry ground. He's testifying to Pharaoh. He's making Pharaoh acquainted with him. Pharaoh, I am God, and I'm able to do what pleases me. Look at my great power. Look at my might, that he can deal with the sea. He can part the waters. He can dry up the ground. And so they went through on dry land. But the Egyptians came right in behind them, attempting to go through the sea. And God had Moses to stretch out his rod again over the waters. And they came together. And they drowned the Egyptians. I am God. I am the supreme being. Oh, listen, God had stretched out his hand, folks, upon every idol god that the Egyptians had. Those people worshiped the Nile River. They worshiped cattle and different things of that nature. And here God had stepped right in. He had defeated every idol god they had. He had put to shame every idol god they had. He showed his superiority to every idol god they had. Pharaoh, I am God. And beside me, there is no other. Oh, may God help us as we journey along the path of life. I am. All right, going a little bit farther to the book of 1 Samuel, the 5th chapter, reading verses 1 through 4, please. Yes. Yes.
The Philistines took the ark of God. They brought it into the house of Dagon and set it by Dagon. And when they of Ashdod arose each early on the morning, behold, Dagon was fallen upon his face to the earth.
Yes.
Before the ark of the Lord. And they took Dagon and set him in his place again. And when they arose early on the morning, behold, Dagon was fallen upon his face to the ground before
the ark of the Lord. And the head of Dagon and both the palms of his hands were cut off upon the threshold. Only the stump of Dagon was left to him. I am God. And beside me there is no other. The Israelites were warring with the Philistines. And here the Philistines took the Ark of the Covenant. This ark, dear ones, was an ark that the Spirit of God condescended to dwell in. God's presence were in that ark. And the cherubims overshadowed on the mercy seat, overshadowed that ark. And here the Philistines took the ark of the covenant of God, and they brought it in, and they set it up on the threshold with their idol God, with Dagon. They arose early in the morning, and they came in, and that Dagon had fallen down before the God of heaven. I'm God. And beside me, there is no other. All my power is superior to every power. I am the supreme being. Nothing can excel my power. Nothing can equal my power. Nothing can stand on the same level with me. I am God. They set Dagon back up again. And early the next morning, as they came in, Dagon had fallen down before the ark again. The palms of both of his hands were broken off, rendering him helpless and defenseless. His head was broken off, showing his utter destruction. That nothing can stand in the presence of God Almighty. Nothing can oppose him. Nothing can withstand him. Nothing can resist him. Nothing can rebel against him and come out successful. I am God. And beside me, there is no other. Now, the name, as we stated, I am, no doubt a greater and more fitting name could not have been chosen for God in presenting himself to those people that would have fully portrayed him to them. But not only is that a proper and fitting name for God back in that day and time, no doubt a more fitting name could not be chosen for God today that would fully portray him to you and me as we journey along the path of life than the name I am. I'd like for someone to turn to the book of 1 John, the 4th chapter, and would you read verse 8, please? That's 1 John 4 and 8. Someone get St. John 3 and 16, please. Yes. Now, would you read St. John 3 and 16 in connection with that, please?
God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life.
I am love. I am love. God so loved the world. God so loved his human creation. God so loved you individually that he sacrificed, that he gave up his only begotten Son to suffer and die upon a cruel cross to redeem you from iniquity, to redeem you from sin and evil, to deliver us from the powers of darkness. God is love.
Amen.
I am love. Oh, may God help us. Now here, dear ones, God in his great love gave his only begotten Son as a ransom for us. To redeem us from the hand of our enemy, to make an atonement for our sins. Now, when we deal with sinful mankind and we deal with the holy God, sin separates man from God. It puts us at odds with God. Men commit sin and transgress the law of God. Those individuals, dear ones, going contrary to his will, his word, his way. Those individuals pulling down the standard of God. And the Bible says the face of God is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The Bible said, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity against God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. God. Folks, when an individual is committing sin, transgressing the divine law of God, that individual is an enemy to God. But the Lord said, I am love. I want to reconcile mankind to myself. So the Lord gave His only begotten Son to make an atonement for the sins of mankind. The word atonement, in its original meant at one meant, bringing into unity and harmony and agreement two opposing parties. So God, in His great love, gave His Son to bring together God and man in a place where there would be harmony, unity, oneness, agreement. I am love. Do you know, had God not loved the world, had God not loved His human creation, had God not loved you and me individually, He would never have made the great sacrifice that He made. He would never have paid the great price that He paid. But I am love.
Amen.
All right, let's go a little farther to the book of Jeremiah, the 5th chapter, and verse 26, please. Yes, please.
For among my people are five wicked men.
Yes.
They wait as he that sets snares, that sets traps, that catch men.
The Lord said, I want you to tell them that I am sent you. I am the supreme being. I am God. I am love. And I am a God of pity.
Amen.
The Lord said here, He spoke about wicked men. Satan, the enemy of all souls, have agents and servants, men and women and boys and girls, that set traps and snares and pitfalls for other precious souls. And they take them in those traps and they damage them and they destroy them physically, mentally, and spiritually. But oh, the great God of heaven, as He looked down from His throne on high, and He saw the sad condition, He saw men being taken in snares and traps and pitfalls by one another. He saw Satan, the enemy of all souls, himself setting traps and snares and pitfalls, and damaging and destroying men and women and boys and girls. He saw Satan, the enemy of all souls, stretching a net across the pathway of precious souls, people walking right into the net of the devil, becoming so entangled in those nets that they are damaged and destroyed. He saw Satan, the enemy of all souls, stretching webs across the pathway of men and women and boys and girls, and those souls walking blindly right into the webs of the devil, and Satan taking those webs and wrapping them around and around those precious souls, binding them so those souls so tight, dear ones, that individual was helpless, that individual was hopeless, it was nothing that they could do, but oh, God looked down in pity upon those precious souls, and God let those individuals know that I want to assist you, I want to help you, I want to aid you, I want to deliver you, and so I'm stretching out my hand to you. I am a God of pity.
Amen.
Oh, it touched the loving heart of God.
Amen.
It grieved the loving heart of God to see men and women and boys and girls caught up in the traps and the snares and the pitfalls of the devil. It grieved the heart of God to see the enemy destroying people mentally and physically and spiritually. And all God's pity reaches out to souls. And He began to stretch out His hand. Let me help you. I'm a God of pity.
Amen.
And I want to help you. In the book of Psalms, the 51st chapter, reading verses 1 through 4, please.
Have mercy upon me, O God.
Yes.
According to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercy.
Yes.
Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sins are ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou pleadest and be clear when thou judgest.
Not only am I a God of pity, but I am a God of mercy. If precious souls will respond to my dealings in a positive way, if men and women and boys and girls will have sorrow of heart, if that individual will repent of their sins, acknowledge their transgressions, have a willingness in their heart to forsake their evil ways, to turn from darkness unto light and from the power of Satan unto God, if men and women and boys and girls will meet the conditions and the requirements that I've laid out in my word for them to meet, I will have mercy upon those precious souls. I will pardon them. I will forgive them. I will blot out their transgressions. I will wash them thoroughly from their iniquity. I will cleanse them from their sins. I will cast their sins as far from them as the east is from the west. And I will remember them against them no more. I am a God of mercy. I will pardon and I will forgive if souls will come and humble themselves and cry out for mercy. The psalmist said, have mercy upon me, O God. According to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgression, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, cleanse me from my sin. Against thee and thee only have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be clear when thou speakest, and just when thou judgest. Oh, behold, I was chafed in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Lord, I started out at a disadvantage when I was born into this world. I already had the root of sin in my heart. And so Satan took advantage of it and he carried me out into a sinful life. But now, Lord, I see my sad condition. I see my need. And I'm pleading for mercy. I'm pleading for help. Will you pardon me? Will you forgive me for my sin and my wrongdoings? Lord, would you save me and deliver me and break the power of sin in my life? Would you break me out of that horrible pit, out of the miry clay, set my feet upon rock, establish my goings, put a new song in my mouth, even praises to God? Folks and people will come to God with that kind of attitude, with that kind of spirit. God's mercy will be extended to them. I am a God of mercy. I will pardon. I will forgive. I will help. In the book of St. Mark, 5th chapter, beginning at verse 1, would you read a few verses for us, please?
They came over to the other side of the sea, and to the country of the Gadarenes.
Yes.
And when they were coming out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could find him, no, not with chains.
Yes.
Because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains. Chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself in stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him.
Amen.
And cried with a loud voice, and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee, thy God, that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, what is thy name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many.
Yes.
And he besought him much, that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was nigh unto the mountain a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out.
I believe that's good. Thank you.
I am a God of power.
Amen.
There is nothing too hard for me to do.
That's right.
All power in heaven and earth is in my hands. Principalities and powers are subject to me. All the demons in hell are subject to me. This man was possessed with a legion of devils. Many, many devils. But oh, we see the power of the great I am. The Lord spoke the word, and those demonic powers had to release that precious soul. They had to give up that precious soul. They had to let that individual go. Oh, listen, dear ones, today, God is still the great I am, and God is still wanting people to become acquainted with Him. He's still testifying, folks. He's testifying to the sinners, those precious souls that are bound by spirits, those that are bound by habits, those that are bound by lustful desires. He's testifying to those souls that I am God, and all power in heaven and earth is in my hands. If you want deliverance, if you want liberty, if you want to be free from your bondage, if you'll humble your heart, if you'll surrender your life to me, I'll break the power of those spirits, I'll break the power of those habits, I'll break the power of those lustful desires, and I'll set you free. God is testifying to the saints. Many of us have loved ones that are bound, dear ones, in sin, by spirits, by habits, by lustful desires, by pride, by their own self. They are bound. But oh, God is testifying that if you will lift me up in your life as you journey through this dark and sinful world, if you will seek my face earnestly and sincerely in prayer, if you'll get down before me and you'll do some fasting, I'll look down with mercy upon those precious souls. I am God, and I can deliver from spirits. I can deliver from habits. I can deliver from foreign powers that have those individuals bound. I am God. Turn with us in closing to the book of Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter, reading verses 1 through 4, please.
All the commandments which I command thee this day shall you observe to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord swore unto your fathers.
Yes.
And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thy heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no.
Yes.
And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years.
I am God. I am a supplier of needs. Paul said, my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches and glory. Here the Israelites wandering in the wilderness, out in a barren desert place, and God fed those folks for 40 years. God rained down manna from heaven. He fed those people with angel food. I can supply your need. It doesn't matter what your need may be, whether it's a spiritual need, a physical need, a mental need, a financial need. I am God, and I am a supplier of needs. I am he that can do the impossible.
Yeah.
These people wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. Their shoes did not wear out. Their garments did not wax old. Their feet did not swell from all of the traveling and the walking. I am God.
Yes,
I am God. I can do the impossible. Don't you know, dear ones, it would be impossible for people to do all the journeying that the children of Israel did, and their feet not swell, they not have any problems here, their shoes not wear out in all of that long journey. That was the power of God. I am God. Oh, may God help us as we journey along the path of life. The very name that God chose to be known by as He dealt with the children of Israel to bring them out of the land of Egypt, not a greater nor more fitting name could have been chosen for those people back in that time. And I don't believe a greater and more fitting name could be chosen today that would portray Christ and God in His fullness as He deals with your soul and my soul as we journey along the way. I am God. I am the supreme being. I am the creator, master, ruler of the universe. I am a God of love. I am a God of pity. I am a God that can supply all of your need, be they whatsoever they are. I am God. May the Lord help us to really get a hold to this thought. Get it down into the innermost part of our being. And I'm persuaded, folks, it'll help us out in many of our problems and battles and struggles if we can really understand who we're dealing with.
Amen.
Amen.